Oh God, yes. Take the poor woman her drink. But when Hamish turned, Afton was no longer where she'd been standing. Spotting a flash of blonde at the side door, he made his way in that direction, enduring the inevitable meet and greet that happened every time he came home. That friendly, avid interest from the village was one of the things he loved about Glenlaig. But just now, he wished they were a bit less enthusiastic. By the time he made it outside, there was no sign of Afton in the little courtyard with outdoor seating. Knowing where she'd likely escaped to, he slipped through the narrow gap in the hedge that surrounded the patio and headed down the path that ran the length of all the shops on this side of the high street. Behind the chemists, he peeled off onto a little track that wound up the hill and through the trees to one of the best-kept secrets in the area. Given the absolutely worldwide craze for Outlander, the village could have capitalized on the little stone dance for tourism. But so far, everyone seemed content to let it be just for the locals and those in the know. It was one of Afton's favorite places, somewhere she often went to think. As he broke free of the trees, another flash of blonde hair drew his attention. She stood in the center of the little stone circle, her back to him, hands outstretched, head thrown back as she lifted her face to the sky. The sight of her sucker punched him. It always had. Something in him recognized something in her. He'd never done anything about it, never even hinted that he felt anything more than friendship. For all intents and purposes, she belonged to his best friend. If he'd been sorely tempted to ignore that at one point, he'd rectified the situation, removing himself from temptation and moving on with his life. Marrying Dana, starting a family. He loved his wife. But here, in the quiet wood, he could acknowledge that what he felt for her was nothing like the pull he'd always had to Afton. A pull that was alive and well. It drew him now into the circle of stones that rose taller than both of them. She startled, whirling to face him, her arms wrapping around herself in a protective gesture. Hamish realized she hadn't been enjoying the fine weather. Her cheeks were white and her chest heaved with the effort to breathe. He recognized an anxiety attack when he saw one. Hastily setting the glass aside on one of the toppled stones, he reached for her, hands closing around her shoulders. Here now, what's this?
I can't.
Desire to comfort overrode whatever remained of his good sense. He grasped one of her hands and pressed it to his chest.
It's all right. You're going to take a breath now.
Hers hitched a little.
Okay, a little deeper. Match it to mine.
Brown eyes full of distress held his, but she followed his instructions, sucking in air. He kept his breathing slow and deep, until her rhythm had synced with his and she lost that pinched look on her face.
Easy. Take it slow.
Her breath finally wheezed out on a long sigh, her shoulders relaxing.
That's better, he murmured.
The hand against his chest trembled once before she stepped back. Hamish didn't allow himself to dwell on the ache he felt at the loss of her touch.
Are you ready for that whiskey now?
Her gaze skittered to the drink he'd carried all the way from the pub.
Ewan will skin you for pilfering one of his glasses.
We'll take it back eventually.
Needing to regain a little balance, he retrieved the whiskey and handed it over to her. Afton accepted it with a noise of gratitude, lifting it in a sarcastic toast.
Slancha.
Then she downed half the contents in one gulp, hissing at the burn.
Better.
She arched a brow.
What do you think?
That you're miserable and I wish I could fix it.
A voice whispered in the back of his mind.
There is a way.
He'd found and dismissed it long ago because it wouldn't solve the problem. At best, it might buy everyone some time. But time for what? For a solution to magically appear from the ether when none had been forthcoming in all these years? No, it wasn't the answer. His role here was as it had ever been. I think you could use a friend.
A friend. Afton laughed and knew the sound was bitter. She didn't need a friend. She needed a savior, and those were in far too short a supply.
Do you want to talk about it?
He was so earnest and well-intentioned. She knew no one had done more to try to rectify this situation than him, and she was grateful. But what good would talking do?